David went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O sovereign Lord, and what is my family, that you have brought me this far? And as if that were not enough in your sight, O sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. Is this your usual way of dealing with man, O sovereign Lord? What more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O sovereign Lord. For the sake of your word and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made it known to your servant. How great you are, O sovereign Lord. There is no one like you. There is no God but you, as we have heard with our own ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself, to make a name for himself, and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations and their gods from before your people, whom you redeemed from Egypt? You have established your people Israel as your very own forever, and you, O Lord, have become their God. And now, Lord God, keep forever the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house. Do as you have promised, so that your name will be great forever. Then men will say, 'The Lord Almighty is God over Israel,' and the house of your servant David will be established before you. O Lord God Almighty, God of Israel, you have revealed this to your servant, saying, 'I will build a house for you.' So your servant has found courage to offer you this prayer. O sovereign Lord, you are God. You are God. Your words are trustworthy. And you have promised these good things to your servant. Now be pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, O sovereign Lord, have spoken. And with your blessing, the house of your servant will be blessed forever. Amen."
Heavenly Father, may we have quiet minds as we come to consider what your word has to say to us this morning. And may we take away from it what we need to may it affect our lives and affect the way we pray to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week, you would have heard about the promises God made to King David through the prophet Nathan. God promised that David's offspring would rule the kingdom of Israel and would build a temple for God's name. God also promised that David's descendants would rule God's kingdom forever. David's descendant would rule God's kingdom forever. The first promise was fulfilled in David's son Solomon, who built a magnificent temple to the living God. More than 1,000 years later, God established the eternal kingdom through the life, death, and resurrection of David's descendant, the Lord Jesus Christ. David had a shadowy glimpse of these promises. We know now how they have been fulfilled. Yet even though David did not have a detailed script of how these promises would be fulfilled, he knew God well enough to be totally confident that God would make good on his promises. God always keeps his promises, and David had much experience of this in his life. God had taken David as a shepherd boy and made him into the king of Israel. God protected him from a host of dangerous enemies along the way. The mighty giant Goliath, King Saul, who hunted David across the countryside. Through first-hand experience in the direst situations, David had learnt that God was eminently trustworthy. And David's response to God's word is a heartfelt prayer of praise and supplication. His prayer is an excellent model for prayer. teaching us to centre our prayer on God, His promises, His word, and His glory. It contains theological principles which we should learn to cling on to. Firstly, we should notice that God is at the centre of David's prayer. God is the focus. According to my count, through this passage, David speaks God's name 17 times in this prayer alone. That's without counting the pronouns. And seven of these times, David uses the compound Yahweh Adonai, which is rendered in our NIV as Sovereign Lord. David is in awe of the Sovereign God of the Bible. A dictionary definition of sovereign is, and this is from the Macquarie Dictionary, having supreme rank, power, and authority. Having the highest rank, power, and authority. But even this falls short of describing God's unique being. Rather than supreme, we have to insert absolute. God has absolute rank, power, and authority. Or infinite. God has infinite rank, power, and authority. In his prayer, David presents the evidence of God's sovereignty. We can consider the evidence in terms of the past and the present for David. This evidence gives David and us confidence for the future. In the past, David reflects that God has redeemed his people Israel from the Egyptians and driven out the nations and gods before them, performing great and awesome wonders along the way. We can read that in verse 23. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself, and to make a name for himself, and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out the nations and their gods from before your people, whom you redeemed from Egypt? The 10 plagues, the parting of the Red Sea, God has displayed his might in the history of Israel. David has played a part in the latter stages of that history. God has proven his sovereignty in establishing the nation of Israel with mighty acts of power. And of course, there are many other demonstrations of God's sovereignty over history, even up to David's time. The creation of the world, the flood of Noah and the Ark of Noah. God is sovereign over history. And in David's life, God has brought David this far in verse 18. Who am I, O sovereign Lord, and what is my family, he says, that you have brought me this far? God chose David and took him from his humble beginnings as a shepherd boy to be a mighty king over the nation of Israel. God protected him from the jealous, murderous Saul and the powerful Philistines. He protected him when he went into battle against the mighty giant Goliath. And all of this was according to God's promise to make him king. David knew very well how God could keep his promises. David was an eyewitness and a beneficiary of God's sovereign choice and plan. God is in control of the big history along with all the fine detail. God is absolutely sovereign. The future. The sovereign God makes promises about David's dynasty in the near and distant future. In verse 17, we read, God will build a house for David. Nathan had reported, verse 27, God, O Lord Almighty, God of Israel, you have revealed this to your servant, saying, I will build a house for you. God promises to build a house for David, his dynasty. David's descendants will succeed him on the throne of Israel, unlike Saul, whose descendants were cut off. David's house will also continue forever, God promises in verse 29. Now be pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, O sovereign Lord, have spoken, and with your blessing the house of your servant will be blessed forever. God will establish an eternal kingdom through a descendant of David. We know that Jesus was the fulfillment of this promise. Jesus was conceived through the Holy Spirit, yet according to his genealogy in Matthew and Luke, he is of King David's line. Jesus, God in the flesh, was the only man capable of being without sin and the only pure sacrifice to cover the sins of God's people. God's eternal kingdom is founded on his atoning blood, so that those who trust and obey Jesus may have eternal life. God has the past, the present, and the future in his hand. That is why David can confidently say in verse 28, your words are trustworthy. Your words are trustworthy. Because everything God promises, he brings to pass. And again in verse 29, he can say, for you, O sovereign Lord, have spoken, and with your blessing the house of your servant will be blessed forever. God has all power to effect his promises. Unlike man, if God says something, it will happen. When God says, let there be light, there is light. No wonder God praises the sovereign God in awe. And this is summarized beautifully in verse 22. He says, how great you are, O sovereign Lord. There is no one like you. And there is no God but you, as we have heard with our own ears. There is no one like you, and there is no God but you. It's nice to start off with an analogy, maybe of someone powerful, to show sovereignty. A Barack Obama, maybe the most powerful man on the earth, or a Russian Tsar, someone who, you know, conjures up that image of a really powerful man. But those analogies don't work, because as David says, how great you are, O sovereign Lord, there is no one like you. There's no one who has near the power, the control, and the rank of the awesome God. And there is no God but the sovereign Lord. And in light of this, in understanding this, in reflecting on this, will give us the right attitudes towards ourselves. Notice how David's attitude towards himself, in light of God's awesome sovereignty, notice from this passage how he considers himself. Now, from a human perspective, David is a mighty warrior king. The 10,000s sang songs about him. He's wealthy. He's the king, he has wives and children, he's united the kingdom, and God has promised him future success. But David knows that all this has come from God. In verse 18, we remember, he says, you have brought me this far. It's not look what I've done. You have brought me this far, he says to God. God is the kingmaker. David also recognises as a sinner and a mere man that he is unworthy of what God has given him. This is the right mindset. He recognises how lowly he is compared to Almighty God. Consider this. Again in verse 18, read with me. Who am I, O sovereign Lord, and what is my family? How can it be that you bring me this far? What am I compared to you? And whereas he refers to God in that wonderful way, sovereign Lord, sovereign Lord, sovereign Lord, when he refers to himself, he repeatedly calls himself a servant. He's the king of Israel, but he's the servant. In no less than 8 of the 12 verses of his text, he calls himself servant. How often do other leaders in this world or in history refer to themselves as servants? And even if they do, how many actually believe it in their hearts? The mighty King David acknowledges he is a mere servant of the Almighty God. This sense of awe of God and humility towards self caused David to utter, "What more can David say to you?" in verse 20. What more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O sovereign Lord. David is speechless before the grace of Almighty God, who has given so much and promises still more to the undeserving. This is the right way to consider ourselves before the awesome God. We must also recognise that the primary purpose of God's plans and acts is to glorify his name. And so it should be. He is the Almighty Creator God. David certainly recognises this. In verse 23, God makes a name for himself by redeeming a people and driving out nations before them. And David is concerned about that. He's concerned about God, and he's concerned about God's people. But he knows that God is making a name for himself through that. And who is like your people Israel? In verse 23, the one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself, and to make a name for himself, and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out nations and their gods from before your people, whom you redeemed from Egypt. And in verses 25 and 26, and now, Lord God, keep forever the promise you have made concerning your servant and his house. Do as you promised, so that your name will be great forever. Then men will say, the Lord Almighty is God over Israel. David prays that God will fulfill his promises so that God's name will be great forever. In this prayer, David provides a perfect exemplar for a prayer of praise. His prayer is centred on the sovereignty of God and his promises. He's concerned about God's people and excited about what God is doing for his people. He prays that God's promises might be fulfilled so that God's name will be glorified. David is in awe of God's majesty and power, and he thinks very little of himself in comparison. This is the right frame of mind. He gives praise to God for all things and trusts in God's promises for the welfare of himself, for his own welfare, that of his household, and the welfare of God's people. And he knows that God's promises are trustworthy. This is a perfect model of praise for us to follow. And we've got more than David had. We have the whole Bible as a revelation of the amazing wonders God has performed in governing history. The Bible is also full of promises which Christians are the undeserving beneficiaries. Indeed, the promise of an eternal kingdom in this passage applies to all Christians. The letter to the Ephesians tells us that the sovereign God, in verses 1 and 5, the sovereign God chose us in him, that is, chose us in Jesus, before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Chose us in Jesus before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in God's sight. Paul goes on, in love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. God is working out the plan he had before the creation of this world to redeem a people to spend eternity with him. This plan glorifies God, glorifies his name. The people he is redeeming are his children. In other words, they are princes and princesses of a higher title than the earthly title held by King David. Christians are the royalty of heaven. God's sovereignty is awesome and his grace amazing. How great you are, O sovereign Lord. There is no one like you, and there is no God but you. How great you are, O sovereign Lord. There is no one like you, and there is no God but you. Let's pray, remembering the wonderful things God has done and has promised to do for his people. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the Creator God and that you are an amazing sovereign over what you have created. Thank you that all things are in control. We praise you for your creation. We praise you for your intervention in history, the amazing things you have done, bringing the Israelites out of Egypt under Moses, the 10 plagues, the Red Sea, the amazing shows of power. Thank you for what you did in David's life, how you've showed us how you're in control all the way by protecting him and bringing him to kingship through all sorts of dangers and trials. Thank you for your son Jesus and the amazing wonders he displayed to show that he is your son, God in the flesh. Thank you for the miracles he performed to demonstrate who he was and is. Thank you that he went to the cross for us, that we might be put right with you. Thank you that he had power over death to give us confidence in your promise to us that we too can be raised from the dead to be with you forever. Thank you for your promises that all things work for the good of those who love you. Thank you that we can be confident in those promises because you have shown that you are true to your word and that you have the power to fulfill all of your promises. We praise you and we thank you for your amazing grace. Help us to live as we should, given that we are the beneficiaries of that amazing grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.